RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from June 1941. The Grim Shadow of Hate. The 100th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Grim Shadow of Hate. Chapter 1. Dead Man Wins. Only death beat Jimmy Rice to the tape in the 220 dash. Jimmy could not see the invisible sprinter. He never did. Only one among all the 5,000-odd spectators knew that death was pacing Jimmy and would be the ultimate winner. Jimmy was taking the 220 by a photographic margin. He sensed the movement of a runner edging up to his shoulder. Jimmy's wide-open mouth sucked air into his aching lungs. His heart seemed pounding with an all-out fury that threatened to burst his ribs. He felt as if he had been running for long minutes instead of but 18 seconds. Then there was the tape, a blurred white thread ahead. Exultation drove the ache from Jimmy's lungs. He could see Billy Rice, his twin brother, standing and yelling in a box at the trackside just beyond the tape. And he could see Thelma Evans, his grandfather's ward, standing beside Billy, with flashing, luminous black eyes and blue-black curls in a cluster about her small ears. Thelma stood as straight as an arrow, one white hand lifted. Jimmy was telling himself, "If I win this, I'll sure enough have the edge on Billy with Thelma." Jimmy saw his grandfather, Harvey Rice, in the box. Old Harvey was not cheering, but Jimmy was sure that pride was burning in his grandfather's eyes. For only the importance of seeing Jimmy win finally needed points for Brookvard College could have brought Harvey Rice there in his wheelchair. Jimmy may have marveled at the multitude of thoughts that could be compressed within the space of a few flying steps. Then the blur of tape ahead suddenly seemed to be receding queerly. His thoughts crowded together, because he was already dying. Suddenly Jimmy had the sensation of running in slow motion, yet his body forged ahead to snap that tape. He had to hit that tape. 5,000-odd spectators were on their toes, but only one among the 5,000 knew of the slowing of Jimmy Rice's brain, while his flying body went on to break the tape and win. "Brookvard! Brookvard! Jimmy! Jimmy Rice!" The yell leaders broke out the cry of victory for Brookvard. The crowd took it up until it echoed from the domed roof of the big indoor stadium of Brookvard College. Then a girl's frightened scream started a spreading terror in the great pool of sound. Other women cried out. They were in the boxes and seats closest to the finish line. Several men nearest to old Harvey Rice cursed deeply. But old Harvey himself just sat there with his knuckles showing white as his hands clenched and his blue eyes burning deep in their sockets. Young Billy Rice appeared to have been frozen into the pose of a statue. One hand was still lifted above his flaming red head. His mouth remained open upon the yell of triumph that had died. Jimmy Rice heard none of the screams, nor the hush of stark fear that followed it.